shouting every week, Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army!
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing?
Brighton Hove Albion, the American Express Stadium on the coast. Great fish and chips. We've been there.
Great town. Hell of a town.
A few dark ales. More than it was a riot. A lot of people are like, why are you going down to Brighton? But hey, we're fans. We like Manchester United. We'll travel anywhere for the squad. Our next games is this Sunday, August 19th at 8 a.m. Pacific time. And like we said, we're playing Brighton and Hove Albion. We've won 12 overall, drawn 5, and lost 2. So we got their number. Not too shabby against the Seagulls.
Sir, but we need a big game, bro, because this is not our forte. You know, we just had a good win at home. Go away to lowly Brighton. Blow it. So,
time and we to lost keep... last year, sir.
That's what I'm saying, bro. So not an easy place to play. They have a very nice stadium in the new MX. Dude, nice looking stadium, but got a big home crowd. They're going to be fucking
loud.
They got
loud. Good pies as well, sir. You like that meat pie at Brighton.
Sir, I think actually
it was
I think I had the gravy at Brighton. I think the gravy was pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty
gravy good. Latte.
Second gravy. They were sold out by halftime, which was a shame. But
of course, sir.
Very decent gravy.
So first time we ever played Brighton was January 16th, 1909. We beat them 1-0. And like we mentioned, we lost the away fixture last year. Away at Brighton, so
that was a brutal game. Remember that? Oh, it's terrible.
Brutal. Albion is coming off a loss against Watford away. They got lost 2-0. So Brighton lost away. They're gonna be coming home. First game of the season. All the fans are gonna be up for it. The energy is gonna be behind Brighton, and we just had a great win at home. Going away last season wasn't our forte, so this would be a real strong win if we can pull it out. I think we obviously have the talent to do so. But can you do it in a rainy night away in Brighton? What do you think, sir?
You know it's going to be rainy. It always rains in Brighton.
All right.
This is more important than in some ways than getting up for a big game against a top six team away. Because we could do that. We had a tendency to go up, play well away, right, against City. Liverpool, we played all right, 0-0. But I'm just saying is like it's the shit teams away that we always seem to bottle
it. It's the shit teams.
It's the bottom six that we like. We don't come up for. We don't bring the intensity that we need to. We need to come out hot. Dude, they've had 9 days of fitness between the Friday game and the Sunday game, which is awesome. But hopefully we get to see Big Luke starting and a fit and firing Pogba. I'm looking forward to it, sir.
Everyone's coming out fit and firing in this match. I think it's huge for us. I think the statement we need to make is we can't drop points before Manchester City. I think as long as that is our game plan, we just went out, just looking at City. Hopefully they're – I mean, I was rooting for Arsenal, cheering on Arsenal pretty good. Thought new
good
coach
luck.
At home.
No chance.
Manchester City, oh, my God. At least I'm not an Arsenal fan. That's all
worse.
I got to say.
Could
That's
worse.
All I got to say about Arsenal. Mkhitaryan looked like a ghost on that on that pitch.
Sounds
it was,
about right.
It was brutal. So injuries, we have 2. Dalot expected to return September 3rd or early September for the new Portuguese signing. And then Romero, this is unknown, but he is injured. Obviously went out in the market and got Lee Grant to be the backup for the time being for De Gea. But we'll be keeping you updated on both those. Really excited for Dalot or Dalot, however you want to say it, coming in on the right-hand side for Manchester United, sir.
I think he's better than Darmian. I certainly hope so.
You know, Darmian is not bad. Not going to win you a game. Not going to lose you a few. You know,
he would be very vulnerable against the top six attackers, right? Mane would like shred him open.
Yeah, he's a cheeky Italian. I like all the he like was. There's a great video of him on the internet where he was like pointing at something on a defender's face, and he was like wiping it off, and the corner was kicked. It's like who does stuff like that?
I did not see that. That's
it was
amazing.
Like it's like he does stuff like that I actually like, and I wished. He played a little better for United because he has that type of personality that I think I actually do like. He's a joker.
Apparently he's a nice guy, too. You know, he's apparently like a very nice guy. Never hurt anyone, but, you know, certainly looks better.
Can't
without,
trust him on the football pitch.
Certainly looks better without those sideburns.
You don't like the chops?
No.
All right, lineup predictions, sir. What do you think? You think we're coming out fit and firing?
Whew, sir. I don't think we're going to make too many changes from the team we saw last week, except for one notable one. So I'm going to call 4-3-3 again. With De Gea at the back, Darmian, as your right back. Baye Lindelof in the center. They played so well. Left back again, Luke Shaw, Power Shaw. Let's see what you got, baby. And then that midfield three that you so eloquently coined FPP last pod. Let's see that again with Mata just still out. And, you know, they look pretty good last time around. The only change I'm going to see is Mata out. Big Luke going up front. Rashford on the right. Sanchez on the left. Dude, that team should be able to put home a couple goals against the Seagulls, I think.
I can see a Fellaini getting in here, though.
Really?
Can't you? It's like an away, lower EPL side. We re-signed him. Why not?
But Pierre just put in a fucking great shift, man. He looked
unbelievable. No, I know. I'm just trying to think if Mourinho would put in like some long ball tactics away. I know Fellaini will be off the bench, no problem, in the 70th minute if it's tied.
Still 0-0.
Or still 0-0, which most likely could happen. I think I'm going to go with what you said. De Gea, Darmian, Baye, Lindelof, Shaw, the FPP midfield, Fred and Pogba, Frogba, killing it. And then we're going Rashford on the right, Lukaku and Sanchez. We'd like to see Martial coming off the bench. Like I said, Fellaini late in the game. So that team's got to do it. They should be able to beat Brighton. Easy money. But again, it's the first game of the season. They're going to be up for the challenge. What do you think, sort of score prediction?
Ooh, I'm calling 3-1 United. I think we're going to open it up a little bit.
Another goal, sir.
Another goal. Always good to leak a goal, especially like away. You know, Brighton fans will be into it. I'm calling 3-1.
All right, I'm going 4-0. We ice Brighton. Clean sheet. Dave saves. Manchester City lose. Chelsea lose. And all's well. Pogba and Mourinho hug in the middle of the field, and they both tell each other they're sorry for all their transgressions, and no one writes a bad article about Manchester United again.
There you go.
No drama. What do you think? That sounds like a great match for second game of the season.
I envision Mourinho jumping on Pogba's back and then carrying him out of the stadium, and then they go out for a long weekend and have a great time together. Yeah.
Exactly. That's definitely happening. Get on a private jet.
Go to Paris together.
They could just talk shit
forever, more likely.
The shitty English press, and we could just read it over and over. God damn it.
The Mirror would just crap it out on a piece of paper again.
All right, changing the subject. Twitter poll, our weekly Twitter poll. We asked you guys a simple question. How would you grade Manchester United's summer transfer window? Hashtag deadline day. The choices were A, B, C, F with some crying emojis. We had 94 votes. 3% say an A. 7% say a B. That's pretty tough, sir. 26% say C. And overall, 64% grade Ed Woodward.
Sir,
F, you're a failure, bud.
Sir, I think you did a disservice by the grading scoring. I think there should not have even been an A option. It should have been B, C, D, or F. There's no A. Of course it wasn't an A.
You got to have the option.
I know, but it shouldn't even be an option. It'd be like B, C, D, or F.
People pick the A. 3%.
One guy?
Three guys.
Two guys?
Two guys picked the A. Maybe they just fat fingered it. Probably.
I meant a B.
I would probably give it, given I've seen Fred play and the I would give it a D because we got rid of Fosu Mensah and, Twan Zebe. We should have kept those kids in. We probably should have dealt Darmian and, you know, there should have been some more movement. Even if we're shuffling things, seems like having Darmian in and Mata in, it's. If you saw our team, we clearly needed like a few deals done. Like get Mata out, get Darmian out, get defenders out, either Smalling, Jones, or Rojo. Get one or two of them out, get a new one in, get a right wing, get a left back. I mean, it's just they did nothing of that except for Fred, who turned out to be great. So I got to give it a D because Fred looks mint, and I really like him in the midfield. And, hey, Delo's an option. We don't know. He could be the next big thing.
And if he does, right, all of a sudden your left back could be fixed with Luke Shaw. Your right back could be fixed with this 19-year-old from Portugal. You never know. Fred definitely looks the real deal. You didn't need to buy another midfielder because you got Piera. He looks the real deal. Center back is worrisome. Right wing is worrisome. But
what do you say?
I would have said D2. I was hoping there would be
D minus. D minus.
Definitely like not an F. It's borderline F. But, you know, I think Fred is good enough that it's not an F because he's already like sliding in pretty well.
Is it Glazers out? How close? Okay,
we're never
going to
get the Glazers out.
How close are we to Glazers out?
I've been Glazers out forever. I will always be Glazers out.
Well, who better could own it other than Sir
Just
Alex?
Some, like,
you know,
ball and Chinese guy, bro.
I don't like the money. You know, the oil money aspect of. City.
No, I don't want an
actually,
oil money.
I
like that we're a self-stated
like that,
team.
It's a public. You can buy stock in Manchester United. It's public as well. So I would rather it be a corporation, public corporation, owned by fans, owned by the people, and then they appoint. Great United legends to run it.
I wish the Glazer family did not have a controlling stake in that corporation. That's my major problem with it.
Yeah. Well, I heard they're friendly people.
Very friendly. Very.
Tweets of the week. Rob Blanchett @_Rob_B. The general noises coming out of MUFC have been that the board are concerned about the direction of the squad. A lack of a director of football means Woodward has to approve Mourinho's targets. Mourinho's picks are said to be too short-term. Cat's out of the bag. Nothing surprising. And obviously moaning about the transfer window, sir. What do you think?
I mean, sir, we talked about this last pod. They're right. I mean, it's like you can't have that. There's like a delta because there's the board who wants to make smart buys, people with resale value. And then there is the manager who wants to win now. He wants to win right now, protect his job, protect his legacy, protect the club's reputation in many ways, too. He knows it's important for them to win.
But the counterpoint to that is if you follow football, you know what type of Mourinho, what type of manager Mourinho is.
He's going to blow up.
Why would you hire Mourinho if you didn't want to win right away? And that's why I was happy that we hired Mourinho, because he comes in, he just knows how to win, gets all these great players who he has relationships with, like the Williams of the world, Alderweireld's of the world. He knows
Matic.
all the players he bought are good and are probably our best players. LVG was the one who fucked us. And it's like he's fighting with one arm behind his back. So I kind of feel bad for Mourinho, because I do think if we got those signings in, even though they're short term, we could win. And that would satisfy everyone, the fans, and the board would make more money. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do. The legacy is a winning one at Manchester United. We want to keep it that way.
What's 100 million in between friends? It's like 100 million.
150.
100, yeah, 150. We have Mourinho. He's the best manager that was given this amount of money to spend and got the results that we've had thus far. It's like we would have liked to win the FA Cup. Would have liked to not crash out against Sevilla. But like, trust me, fucking Pep wasn't going to come in with only 9 new players and the team that he had to start with and win the fucking Premier League by 19 points. It's like they spent money like crazy, bro, like crazy fucking Middle Eastern people with nothing to worry about, you know, and paying for your own sponsorships.
Let's hope playing out of the back comes to fuck him up this year. They looked Arsenal. There was a moment they couldn't kill off Arsenal, and playing out of the back looked shaky. So it's not a foregone conclusion that he's a masterclass just yet. I think every team got better in the EPL and everyone's more dangerous. I could see Liverpool and us, Merkin City. So you never know. On to the next tweet from Gary Neville via Sky Sports. You got to remember, Mourinho has spent a lot of money, but the Van Gaal signings, I have to say, were really poor. Mourinho has had to get out of the club 7, 8, 9, 10 players and then get them in. He's only been here 2 years, not 15 years. These are wise words from Gary Neville. Again, siding with Mourinho here. You got to give him time. The LVG signings were fucking atrocious.
That
really fucked the team. I want to say if we got Mourinho in instead of LVG, we would be fine by now.
Oh my God.
And I actually think the board's worried about spending because of the LVG signings, and even they're not producing wherever they go. Only Depay, he seems to be doing okay.
That's it. It wasn't even just the signings. Dude, we didn't sign Toni fucking Kroos because Van Gaal killed the deal and then signed fucking Michael Schneiderlin. It's like,
yeah. No.
Sir, I mean, that was like, it's not only just signing shit players, it's not signing players that like the board had already set up that would have turned out to be top class players, sir. So Van Gaal was a proper chump.
Louis Van Gaal's army.
Mourinho's making the most of it. Dude, he signed 9 players. Pep signed 20 fucking players in the same window, amount of time, bro. It's like,
so everyone needs to, the Mourinho hate needs to calm down a little bit. Obviously the drama with Pogba, you know, say what you will, but I feel bad for him where he is, with the board not spending and buying who he wants, and him coming in trying to fix this thing. It's like, you got to go all the way. If you're hiring Mourinho, you got to go all the way with him, and he'd win us the league if he got those players in. Honestly, couple, like 150 million, three or four players, and the title is ours, most likely. So
70. We spent 70 million. That's it.
Nothing. All right. At Liam Canning, at Liam Paul Canning on Twitter, Pogba showed great commitment against Leicester after not having a preseason and yet still managed to deliver a fantastic performance. He suited the captain's role and should be the captain of Manchester United. Hope Mourinho does get the best out of him.
Liam, man. Liam knows what's up. Big fan of Liam. But I think he's right. I think he should get the armband. I think the armband will be that like extra push to say, hey, we might not get along, but I trust you as the captain of this team. You should be the captain. Bring us the glory. Put it all on him, man. That's the smart move.
And maybe winning will cure the relationship. Most likely not, but we shall see.
Doesn't hurt. Does not hurt.
Yeah. Don't need any more Pog drama discussions on this pod. Next tweet at MUFC Scoop. Juan Mata is quoted, to start the Premier League with a win is always good, both for our league position and for the confidence it breeds within the team. We know that it's still August. We know there is a lot to improve on. Patience and calm is needed. Maybe Juan Mata should be the captain, sir. Those are wise words.
It might not start, but I know, he is right. Patience and calm is needed. Especially,
captain on the bench. Dude, captain
of
the bench.
In this day and age, bro, it's like every news cycle is 7 days long, if that. Even with soccer, it's just it flips over so quickly, especially as a Manchester United fan, because they come up with there's so much new shit every week for them to focus on. So everyone needs to just chill out, realize that we have a lot of good players. We do have a good manager. Just give them the space and time they need to execute. You know, there's going to be bumps along the road, but that's part of it.
Keep calm and carry on. Hated, adored, never ignored. Manchester United.
All day, baby.
Can't be rattled. Can't be rattled if City win a league or two. At Real Talk MUFC, anyone who has witnessed Wayne Rooney at his peak won't be surprised by this. The man has always been a selfless warrior, ever ready to do a defensive job. He also sacrificed his preferred striker role to drop deep for the team's benefit. They don't make them like him anymore. And this was reference to the amazing track back tackle and cross to win a game in the MLS in the 96th minute. Wayne Rooney with a bit of magic over here in America. And man, he is just class individual, sir. I know you're a big fan of Wayne Rooney.
Dude, I'm a big fan.
Waza.
Big fan of Wayne Rooney. Dude, one of the great Manchester United players, one of my favorite Manchester United players, and glad he can still do a job, bro. Go into the MLS, Captain Miguel's favorite league, and be one of the best players. Him and Zlatan making all Manchester United fans around the world proud. Might not be the best league, but they could still pull the strings, bro.
Well, it's kind of sad. He could probably still play in the EPL, and Everton were keen on getting him out, but you know, it's good to see him in the MLS, and he's like showing that maybe MLS.
Not so bad. Not so bad for him.
Not so bad for him, but the level is not at the EPL. Maybe championship.
It was an Eric Bailly tackle, though, he had on that guy, though. I like the tackle more.
He made the comment. He was interviewed post game, and he's like, yo, the keeper shouldn't have been out. I was like, what is the keeper doing? And then so he ran back. There was no goalie in the net. Unbelievable stuff. MLS, mate.
Wayne Rooney.
What are you going to do? United in the news. Big article here. It's Manchester United's David De Gea in line to become Premier League's best paid goalkeeper as club look to tie down Spaniard to long-term deal. Amazing news. Hysterical why he stayed. We should be stuck with some third-rate keeper at this point. But Dave saves. Give him that cash money. We've always been talking about it. Pay the man.
Saved by the fax machine and facts we trust. Best paid goalkeeper. He is the best goalkeeper, so why not pay him the most? He certainly deserves it. Has been our MVP for many, many years. Dude, lock him down, baby. Lock him down until he's 35. Give him a 10-year contract.
I think he's the best player on the field. If you saw that save he made at Leicester, just like he could be cold all game. Boom. Right. Ready. It's unbelievable. His reflex saves are crazy. Thanks to Alex Ferguson for that signing. And I'm so happy he did not move to Real Madrid. And as everyone knows, the chump Courtois made the move. So Madrid
talked
does
not
need
shit.
It.
Talked a lot of shit on the way, too.
Yeah.
Madrid pissed off every Chelsea fan. I know.
Pissed off every Chelsea fan. Then when he won with Atletico, he like talked shit about Real Madrid. So like Real Madrid fans don't like him. So he's just talking shit about everyone. Courtois, top chump. Glad he's not in the EPL anymore. Glad Chelsea have some other new keeper. I mean, way too expensive. Was it £70 million for this new keeper no one's ever heard of? Unbelievable shit from Chelsea. But looks like Dave is here to stay. I think he's the best player on the field. I think he should be the captain. I mean, he
should, but Pogba needs it. I think Pogba needs it for his ego in order to play top.
He's been there the longest.
He's
the best player, player of the year, year over year. I mean, I think he should be the captain. He's probably earned it. Pogba, because he's a drama queen, probably needs it for the ego. That is Paul Pogba. Everyone jump on that ship. It's big enough to fill a few people.
Give him two ships, probably.
Yeah, a few countries in there. All right, next article. This is huge. We're talking about transfer stuff. Director of football, Edwin van der Sar, in running to become Manchester United's first ever director of football, along with Roma transfer chief Monchi. So a lot of big names in here. Director of football, all of a sudden this week, I think the board's like, all right, we got to have someone who knows something about football here. You can't listen to Jose Mourinho. Ed Woodward, this guy doesn't really know that much. So they're just fucking figuring it out on the fly. Manchester United haven't won a title in 5 years. Still fucking figuring it out on the fly. Oof. God damn it, Glazers. What the fuck? Like three managers, a bunch of players.
But that money is rolling in, bros. That's all I really give a shit about. But this is a good move. This is a good move. You know, ideally, you could find someone that does get along with Mourinho to a certain extent. I think long-term play, I would actually love Edwin van der Sar. People are excited about what he's doing back at Ajax. He certainly has a cost-conscious mind, right? Working for a small Dutch club. Not small Dutch club, but a Dutch club. It doesn't have the kind of budget that, say, a Roma, Monchi. Monchi's the hot name at the moment. A lot of talk about him, but van der Sar knows what it is to play for a Fergie club, what Manchester United means. He'd really, like, if he wants to come and take the job, gets offered the job, he would make the most of it, appreciate it for what it is.
So do you think United need a director of football?
Yes.
And you're pro this move instead of finding a manager who can set the direction of the club and fit his style?
I think they should work hand in glove, dude. It's like they should be working as a unit. But I think you need someone who's like longer than the managers these days that is trying to craft like overall talent in the team, obviously trying to win, but you need to think forward thinking. You can't just be this year, next year.
What about the manager being forward thinking?
Well, I think you work in combination with the manager and a to-be-appointed director of football. As long as they have an agreement.
I don't know. The way I think about this director of football thing, it sounds great, but in practice, it doesn't matter. Like, look at Liverpool. They bring in Jurgen Klopp. Like, Jurgen Klopp wants to play a certain way. His philosophy is X. He wants to buy X. They're giving him money to buy X. They're
going
to win with that manager in that style. They have found what they want. Like, before Klopp went to Liverpool, I thought he'd be the best to replace Sir Alex because of his attacking style.
He
hasn't won. You are correct. Mourinho's a winner. I agree. But at the end of the day, people don't like the Mourinho style. So I think it's important for the board to promote a manager that has the style that the team likes. And we play that way. You know, and Mourinho's not an attacking style, so we shouldn't have appointed him.
That's why he promoted McKenna, right? He's got his Rui Ferrara is gone. His longtime assistant.
I think Carrick could be the coach by the end of the season, sir.
Sir, anything's possible, bro. You might be the coach by the end of the season. But I think the fact that he promoted McKenna, I think even in glimpses they showed that they wanted to play a different style against Leicester. Let's see what happens. I think we might see a more attack-minded United.
Yeah, we'll see about this director of football role. In practice, I think it sounds great, but whenever you bring in a new manager, they want their players. And I think that's how a team is really defined. The manager sets the formation, they put the players where they're going to play, and the director of football, this power struggle, seems like another conversation that goes awry and more politics between him, director of football, Woodward, and the board. There's more moaning, more disagreeing.
Well, sir,
that's
like,
what I think.
It only works, you only need that if you have a club that doesn't have unlimited money. Right, City don't need a director of football because Pep can buy whoever he wants and then some. Right, same with Klopp recently. It's like, oh, I need the best, overpay for a center back, overpay for a goalkeeper, because and they just let him do it. He has no director of football pulling the strings. He's like American owner says, yeah, we want to win finally because we haven't won in 26 fucking years, longer. Jeez.
They probably just want someone to fire. They want someone to blame and fire because they can't make. I think the board is like getting too involved in making these calls because now the checks are so big that they're making the calls. Like, do you spend $100 million on a defender? Do you spend $70 million on a defender? It's like the Glazers are making that decision. You know, the director of football isn't.
No, and you need someone that has a little bit more football knowledge than Ed Woodward and the Glazers.
Yeah, a little more. Slightly. Maybe you or me, sir. We're open for the job. Send you can tweet us the job offer, the Glazers.
There you go. Well qualified.
Next article, Manchester United outcast James Wilson joins Aberdeen in season-long loan move in bid to kickstart career. So haven't heard much from James Wilson since LVG days.
Good luck, bud.
Good luck, bud.
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to see him Aberdeen anytime soon. Enjoy Scotland.
Enjoy it. You know, Sir Alex coached Aberdeen. That was back in the day.
Not there anymore.
Yeah, not there anymore. Next article, Barcelona want Paul Pogba, but we'll have to wait. The Manchester United star would be perfect response to Neymar's impending move to Real Madrid next summer. This is per the Daily Mail, stoking the fire. I do think Barcelona wants Pogba. I think they're probably identifying a few big name players to bring in because Neymar most likely will go to Real, and I think they're trying to get someone.
And Messi's not going to be there forever, bro. They're also aware of that. Right? He's going to eventually have to go and move to Japan or China and go make $50 million a year, like playing against a bunch of chumps. But they know, dude, they need someone that has that appeal that's going to sell jerseys all around the world, make the brand attractive like Neymar did, like Messi does, like Ronaldo does, and like goofy-ass tooth Sanchez ain't going to do it. You know, like,
you know, like
who else they got? Like Dembele's not a big star yet.
It's good. It's. I don't think this Barcelona Pogba drama is over just yet. Mainly because Raiola, that's the surefire way to make more money. Obviously, you know, when a player moves, the agent gets paid a big check. I think he made what $40 million with the Pogba deal.
$40 million
with the Pogba deal. So him going back to Barca, he can make $80 million, maybe double what he made. So this chubby agent's gonna be flying around the world in private planes, trying to do a deal with anyone and make sure Pogba can trade next summer. And when he's the voice in Pogba's ear, who does he listen to? Does he listen to the board? Does he listen to his heart? Does he listen to Manchester United? Does he listen to Raiola and the cash money in Barcelona? You never know.
Sir, I don't think this is going away anytime soon. Is he trying to get a contract raise? He said, like, it leaked last week that he doesn't want a raise. I think that's just bullshit from Raiola's camp to make Pogba look not like the villain at United. But ultimately, dude, is he looking for a raise or is he looking to get out? Not sure which one it is. I think you think he's trying to get out. Doesn't like Mourinho. Might be that. Might be a bit of that. Might be he wants to get paid more because he won the World Cup. But we're going to get a lot more of this
a lot more
in the coming months, sir.
But I could see the scenario. Most likely scenario is, and I hate to admit this as a United fan, we don't win the league. Make top four. Mourinho leaves. Pogba stays. And then I have no idea who he hires as our coach.
Sounds about right.
Maybe Deschamps, whoever Pogba wants. Honestly, it's kind of one of those things where Messi influenced who the coach of Barcelona was, and Pogba will probably influence who the next coach of Manchester United is if he stays and Mourinho goes, right?
We know
he's going to have a say.
We know how Barcelona fans feel about their board currently and how that's working out. Right? It's like
it's in shambles.
It's not so good.
Sir, fan questions.
From Wendy in Scottsdale, Arizona. What up, Wendy? Coming Thanksgiving, where will United sit in the table? So for anyone who's not from the United States, Thanksgiving this year falls, what, the 24th? It's usually the fourth Thursday of November. So
we have some just pulling up United fixtures quickly. We're doing Brighton. We got Tottenham at home. Burnley away. Watford away. Wolves at home. West Ham away. Newcastle at home, Chelsea away.
I think it's tricky. Chelsea away, Everton at home, Bournemouth away, and then City away. So,
and then Palace at home. So not a bad fixture lineup to start out with, but we do play Tottenham, and then we have Chelsea and City on the road. So those two matches are really going to dictate how we're going to rate our season. If we steal the points at Chelsea and City, we'll be top of the table. If we don't, probably going to be in third.
Sir, as long as we don't blow them away at Burnley and Brighton.
I'm not worried about that as much as I'm worried about those three matches are statement games. Sorry at Chelsea, playing them away. That's a disadvantage. And then playing City away at their house.
And they're pissed. Do you remember what happened last time we went to their house?
Yeah.
In spectacular fashion. So,
given those fixtures, what do you think? What do you think their place in the league is going to be?
I'm going to say second. I think we're going to be behind City in the hunt. I think we'll beat Chelsea away. I think we'll beat Tottenham at home. We'll drop some points against some shitty teams, and I think we'll lose to City away. But I think we're going to be in. I think it's going to be a knife fight, and hopefully it's just about staying fit.
Sir, we're going to be first, sir. We're winning the league. We're winning the league.
10 points ahead.
We're Manchester United. We're 21 times, and we're going to Wembley as well to get the FA Cup, Champions League, League Cup. what do they call it? Quadruple?
Quad.
The quad.
I thought City won the quad.
We're going for the quad. If we're in the competition, we're winning it. I think we're going to surprise everyone. The team looked great. We're only going to get better. Our big players are going to come back, and I think we're going to boss City, and everyone's going to realize this. You can't call that game. It's a coin flip game, but I think on the day, we have better players. I think Lukaku and Pogba can shine above Aguero. Aguero, to me, doesn't seem to be doing the job. Like, City have the wingers. We have the number nine. It's kind of, what are you rating that?
I think I also think our midfield on our day can boss their midfield on their day. I know they have De Bruyne, but, like, Pogba's more physical. I think he can, like, supersede De Bruyne and Fernandinho and co. So, dude, it's all about stepping up. It's like our big players got to have a big game. Sanchez have a big game. Lukaku have a big game. Pogba have a big game. We win.
Easy. Everyone have a big game. That's it. You heard it here.
American 38 Red. Games. We're in 38 all Premier League games. So we're going to max out on points.
Kill it.
Never lose a game.
You heard it right here. American Red Devils. Pump for the game, guys. Sunday. Don't forget to set your alarms. Set your coffee timers as well.
8 a.m., bro. 8 a.m. Pacific time. Can't wait. Seagulls away,
we're
baby.
We're coming for you. And as always...